listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. Since I'm the all-powerful announcer guy and have the power to do this, I'd like to share my thought of the day as we get into today's show. I got nothing. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Repartee here in Minnesota, a little progressive banter of back and forth goodness. And also coming out of Decatur, Georgia, with astrophysicist Paul Wallace. Welcome back, astrophysicist, friend, and soon again to be newly published author, Paul Wallace. Hey, buddy. Hunter, how are we doing? We got we got the astrophysicist with us?
Paul?
Hunter, you're going to have to play the role of astrophysicist Paul Wallace if you can't find the guy pretty soon. Well, you find him, Hunter, and I will. I'll do the setup. I am so excited that it's Friday for a whole number of reasons. In the show today, we're going to talk a little bit about the Trump criminality, which just continues to be so clear in this country. So we're going to get to that after the 4:30 break, and then the news quiz, of course. But before that, astrophysicist Paul Wallace is here with us, and I want to talk with him about the movie Apollo 11. It's a theatrical release, meaning it's in the theaters. If you've yet to see the Apollo 11 film, it's incredible. It is worth seeing. I'm telling you, I said this to Hunter. I said, Hunter, go and watch Apollo 11, and if it doesn't move you emotionally, as well as being a great film, I'll not only pay for your ticket, Hunter, I will pay for the popcorn you're going to have. I pay for the drink too, Hunter. I promise you, this movie is so moving. It is made entirely of what's referred to as found footage, meaning it's not a dramatic portrayal. It's all documentary style, no narrator other than the voices of newscasters and the people from NASA who did the color commentary during the space launch. Apollo 11 was the space launch that landed a couple of guys on the moon, and it is riveting. I mean, it is so moving to just know that this country, this world, this humanity that we all share shot people in a rocket to the friggin' moon. They landed, launched that little Eagle lander off of the moon, reconnected back up, made back into the Apollo 11, came back, dropped parts along as they went, and then came down with a parachute into the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, right outside of Hawaii. Unbelievable. Astrophysicist Paul Wallace, are you there with us?
I am here.
I'll tell you, I was just bragging about the people of your industry.
People. They really are something, aren't they? They really are.
Oh, my
something.
Gosh.
I got to tell you, I haven't seen the movie. I hadn't gotten to it. But I was watching the trailer for it, right? And I didn't really know what I was looking at. I mean, I knew it was about the landing on the moon, the first landing on the moon. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize. I thought it was like, you know, just a movie. Yeah. I didn't realize. No. And then they were like showing the dude suiting up, you know, before they launched. And I was like, oh, my God, that's actually, you know, Neil Armstrong.
It's all because, the real footage. You know, they filmed the
entire... Beautiful. And it's beautiful. It looks like something they would have filmed today. I was like, did they have the technology to do that in 1969? I had no idea.
Well, this is what's incredible. They shot it on 70-millimeter film, big film. And they had such foresight that because they knew they were going to land a couple of guys on the moon. Like, I know that I've grown up my entire life. I was born in 1966. So by 1969, I was 3 years old. My entire life, people land on the moon, which everyone used to take for granted until recently. I'm pretty sure Donald Trump's in the crowd that doesn't think people landed on the moon, the Earth isn't flat, and vaccines don't help. He's in that crowd. But anyway, growing up, everybody agreed we landed on the moon. At least everybody that I hung around with agreed to that.
Sure.
So I sort of took it for granted until I've gotten a little older and realized how little technology there is right now to, like, fix the potholes on the streets outside my house, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
They figured out.
Like, yeah. And then unbelievably, like, the computing power they had was like zero compared to what you're holding in your hand, you know, when you're, you know what I mean? Now.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, totally. Totally. Like they couldn't even tweet. But what they did figure out how to do is they figured out how to run a live television footage from the moon. I had totally forgotten about this. And what's incredible, because the film is all found footage, meaning it's all just the original stuff. There's
right.
nothing. It's just edited together, right, in a particular way where they take this, whatever
with
it was.
With music,
you know,
yeah.
With music and just, and only a small amount. It is, if you're into design, if you're into communication, this film is gorgeous. The way it's edited, the way the screenshots are put together, it's the typography. I mean, I'm so into it. It was as if Lady Gaga became a film. I'm into it. My crush.
I know you do love yourself some Gaga. I know that.
Yeah, wow. I am Lady Gaga about this film. It's so great. And the accomplishments of these people. Here's the thing that just a couple of things that shook me about it that really hit deep. When I was a kid, I knew who Neil Armstrong was because he drank Tang, and I wanted to drink Tang, the orange drink of astronauts.
Yeah.
And somehow I assumed that he was married to a genie because I Dream a Genie and the actual astronauts got all confused in my head. So anyway, but these
that's really funny, by the way.
Yeah. Do you still have I Dream of Genie crushes?
I'm not going to talk about that on air.
Okay. I'm confident in that. Well, here's the thing I realized. As a child, adulthood was otherworldly to me. Adults were otherworldly. I didn't just think, well, these are old people. I just thought, no, they're adults and I'm not. So Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and whoever that third guy was, it just was the taxi driver. What's his name?
Michael Collins.
Yeah, Michael Collins. Yeah, honestly, when the film started, I had forgotten that he was even all aboard. But the guy had an incredible role in this, in the whole thing. Like, he had to drive he had to fly the
yes, right.
Whatever Apollo 11 was, while the Eagle, as in the phrase, the Eagle
Columbia,
has landed.
Columbia.
Oh, that's what it was called that he was flying around?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Paul, I cannot wait for you to see this. I want to get on a plane, fly down to Decatur, Georgia, and go to a movie with you tonight to watch it. It's so moving because it's all the live footage. And what you realize is these guys, at least Neil Armstrong, they didn't say the names either. Neil Armstrong was 38 years old.
Hmm.
38. They were young men.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
right.
To my mind as a child, it was like the founders of the country. And now that I'm, you know, years past that, I just think, what an incredible thing to experience as a – like, there's no way – for Neil Armstrong, he said that great thing where he said, you know, that's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. That's a phrase I've also known my whole life. I think when you watch the film, you tell me what you think. He says that as he's still – they have a camera inside the Eagle, inside the moon, the lander. It's point. Yeah. A camera is pointing at him while he's in his space suit, and he steps down, and he's still holding on to the ladder. Like, he was holding on to that ladder for a long time before he stepped down.
Before he let go.
Yes, before he let go. And when he made that step, you can hear the emotion in his voice. Because I'd always heard that phrase, that's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind, as sort of triumphant, right? Like, like holding your hand high and like
– Right.
He's shaken,
right?
Shaken with the emotion of it. And the filming of the cameras on the Eagle lander and the cameras on their spacesuits is so vivid on the moon. I don't know how they have this quality of photography. But it is riveting. It's when they're about to land. I don't want to. There's some things that happen. I don't want to ruin the movie for you. But there's some things happen as they're coming in to land on the moon. Like when they've released from Columbia, and now the Eagle is separate, and it's got only a certain amount of fuel. They have a countdown clock running in the corner, and it starts to build the suspense. And it is so what these people accomplished
because he was running low on thruster fuel basically, and he had to land it within a certain window of time, right?
Yeah. Well, he ends up describing what happens. Basically, I'm nervous about saying this. I don't want to ruin it. But he basically says, hey, the autopilot that was on, it was going to land us in a place that wasn't going to work. We had to manually fly. They took over control and manually flew the Eagle to land it in a safe spot.
It was like rocks, right?
With seconds to spare. Yes, they were going to land in a huge rock field. That was just what the projection, because they hadn't been that close to it before. So amazing, the ability of human beings to do this. It's riveting. It's a 50-year anniversary that's up and coming. Yeah. That's partly why it's been released now, and why all of us don't know that this film, this footage existed. Like, maybe, I guess, if you went to the Kennedy Space Center, you would see this. But it is like human ingenuity, engineering, people of daring, the government, the private sector, all working together in a time when in our country in 1969,
yeah,
the world was in terrible shape. Vietnam.
Right. It was like now. It was basically like now.
Totally. And they still
did this.
I've
heard people who were basically adults at the time saying that they haven't seen the country in such a mess since about that time.
That's totally what it feels like. And, as I'm wont to do on the little segments, I'll turn it political just for a second before we go into a break. The fact that Donald Trump wants to now, like, I want to go back to the moon. Please, for the love of it all, man, just don't ruin everything, Donald Trump. Could you not ruin the friggin' moon landing? Oh, he's unbelievable. All right, so when we come back, let's talk about all that when we come back. We're going to push into a break here. This is AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett, astrophysicist Paul Wallace, and Hunter on the afternoon repartee on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Raymond Dean, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
The U.S. has been fighting for 17 years in Afghanistan, 15 years in Iraq, and 4 years in Syria. And now the Trump administration is threatening war in Venezuela. As NATO will be starting its 2019 summit in Washington, a coalition of organizations will hold a mobilization to oppose NATO, war, and racism. American wars, with support from NATO allies, continue around the world. A new nuclear arms race is threatening, and U.S. military intervention is developing in Venezuela. Say no to NATO, U.S. wars, nuclear weapons, and racism with an anti-war protest on Saturday, March 30th at Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue. Make your voice heard. Let's say no to wars, racism, and Islamophobia. Say no to the Muslim ban. And let's say yes to immigrants and funding for housing, education, and health care. Again, the anti-war protest is Saturday, March 30th at 1:30 at the corner of Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue, initiated by the Minnesota Peace Action Coalition. Let's make our voices heard and stand up against war.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community, too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930.
A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Hi, Minnesota. It's Tom Hartman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, welcome back to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Even though Tom Hartman likes to say repartee, you say tea, I say tay. Hey, Hunter, I heard a little ad there during the commercials about the anti-war march or anti-war protest happening tomorrow. Do you know any details about that?
Yeah, it's taking place tomorrow afternoon. I don't have the address handy, but it's surrounded around Venezuela and the possibility that the Trump administration would launch war in Venezuela before the elections as a political maneuver.
Yeah, a little wag the dog. All right, I was listening to bits and pieces of it. It was coming fast, but I think it's 1:30 tomorrow, maybe late.
Yeah, 1:30.
And Minnehaha over there on the other side of Hiawatha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the east side of Hiawatha. Okay. Well, I'm going to be over there. Let's get it on, Hunter. Let's go to Let's go to a little anti-war protest.
Because
nothing
always
says anti-war like all of humanity landing on the moon. So back to Paul Wallace, astrophysicist. Paul, I just feel like I've wasted my life by not being not working for the NASA Jet Propulsion Lab or something. Those guys.
Yeah, well, they have. There's so many things that are going on that the general public just does not know about. You know, that they're working on this wonderful stuff. And one of those things actually is they are actually talking about going back to the moon. You know, Pence came out and talked about this a while back, said we're going to make it back to the moon by what year? 2024, which is 5 years from now. I know, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to make it back, but I don't think it's going to be that early.
But so as far as you know, I heard Mike Pence say that too, and he had just heard that news 5 minutes earlier. He even said in his speech that he heard that five minutes earlier, because you know, there's why should they be paying attention, President, Vice President, to what NASA's doing? They hears it 5 minutes before his speech, like on the way over, like the director of that program.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, I think we could actually get really you could get back to them. But anyway, what's taken us so long? If we got there 50 years ago, why is it like, hey, we think we could get there in another 5 to 8 years if we get some funding? What is the holdup with us getting some people back to the moon?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is that there's also an issue of Mars to deal with, and Mars and the moon are not independent ideas. And so if we go to the moon, we want to do so in a way that's going to help us on the next step out to Mars. You know what I mean? It's not just putting – if all we had to do was put a dude on the moon, walk around and come back, we could do that. I mean, by 2024.
You did that we did that 50 years ago.
Yeah, we could do that. It would, you know, take a lot of money real quickly, but we could do it. But we're trying to do it in a smart way to where it helps us to take the next bigger step. And so that requires a whole lot more thought. That's one issue. That's one thing that's taken a while. Another thing is that we haven't really had the political motivation to do it. And that really does require something like that. It's nice to think about, you know, just the dream of colonizing the solar system. That's a nice thought, and I think about it pretty regularly, but it's not going to happen without a political motivation, and we're starting to have one now, which is China.
Well, one of the great things that they don't firmly bring up in the Apollo 11, because it starts like 30 hours before takeoff, but that there's a little context at the end in the Apollo 11 film that tells you that that Kennedy's speech in 1961 that he delivered at Rice University is what they play at the end of the film. Where he kind of lays out, you know, a big grandiose speech for going to the moon and says, we want to get there first. It's kind of ironic that we're living in this age in which this like need to come together and all of this because we need to do something so Russia doesn't win. Like, talk about the patterns repeating themselves and the non-identical repetition of history. It's really unbelievable that this, you know, that they were really motivated in great part because they wanted the United States to kind of lead the world, which in some ways I have a lot of friends who push back on this. They don't like the idea that the United States is always trying to be so in front and so leader of the world.
Right.
But sometimes it's, I mean, I think the great thing about any kind of appropriate levels of competition like that is, well, because you want someone to lead, and whoever gets there first maybe could be the ones most capable of leading. So just like everyone trying to get there should hopefully, in the best case scenario, make all things better and make everyone better.
Right.
So a little,
right.
You know, a little juice in the engine would be pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, China's had a couple successes on the moon lately. We talked about those a while back, and I think that's kind of gotten our attention. And you know,
and that is that they landed a rover of some kind on the backside of the moon.
Backside of the moon, right?
All right. So this was something astrophysicist Paul Wallace that I still need you to explain to me again, like I'm a rudimentary astrophysicist, you know, space student.
Okay.
Why is the moon not spinning? Because at one point I thought you had helped me understand that all the things in the space are spinning. How come we see the same side of the moon?
Well, it is spinning, and I want you to picture this. Suppose you go to the moon. Suppose you're the one who lands on the moon in 2024, okay? And you walk around on the moon, and you find on the moon where the Earth is directly over your head. Okay,
okay.
So you can look directly overhead, right at your zenith, and there's the Earth. Can you picture that?
Not only can I picture it, I saw it in a film just last night, the second time I saw the movie. They have a shot of that very thing. I've seen it twice, yeah. I'm going to go see it again.
Okay.
So you
take a flag, right, just like they did, and you stick it in the ground.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that flag will always be pointed right towards the Earth.
How is that
possible?
Is it not spinning?
It is. It spins once every time it goes around the Earth once. It spins at the same rate that it orbits.
It spins at the same rate that it orbits.
Yes, exactly. Are you picturing it now?
Yes, but my mind is also exploding, so those two things are happening at the same time. So yes, I see it. Yeah, I can see it in my mind's eye. This is
one of those things that's very hard to do over radio.
Yeah, try doing it by yourself when you're in the theater, trying to realize like why if everything is spinning, why is this? And it really is spinning at exactly the same rate. Like we're not in a thousand years, we're not a little bit more off of that or something.
No. In fact, this is a very common thing throughout the solar system. Moons galore do this.
Oh, it's a moon feature.
No, it's a feature of gravity. Gravity will eventually slow down. In fact, gravity, if we let the Earth and the Moon just go and go and go and never bother them at all, eventually the Earth would also have one face toward the Moon all the time. The rotation of the Earth would slow down. It is slowing down, by the way. You might not know that, but it is slowing down. And eventually it would slow down so much to where this one face of the Earth would always point towards the Moon as well. So if you're on the Moon, you would see only one side of the Earth all the time.
The Earth's spin is slowing down?
Yes. It's about 1 millisecond slower.
Now I have that to worry about.
It's because of tides. It's because of tidal force, tides. That's what does
Truly?
It. Yeah.
Oh, good Lord! What things I don't know. Okay, so it's slowing down. Hey, I also watched some animated video that the Earth's orbit is oblong, so and that somehow it's not that in some number of thousands of years our seasons are going to sort of invert. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, they would if we didn't fix them.
What do we do to
if
fix
we didn't,
them?
We're constantly adjusting them. You've heard of leap years? Well, there are things called leap seconds.
Goodness.
We add seconds in every now and again to make sure that that doesn't happen. But if we didn't change our calendar, yes, after about 13,000 years, our summertime would occur. Our weather, hot weather, would occur in December in the north.
We'd be like Australians.
Yeah, we'd be like Australians, and they'd be like us in 13,000 years.
Yeah, which no Australian would ever take that deal. They're very proud of being themselves. Astrophysicist Paul Wallace, congratulations on the book, which is forthcoming. Love and Quasars. I had a chance to look at it. It's fantastic. When is that new book coming out, by the way? Because we're going
October 1st.
October 1st.
6 whole months from now.
hey, my daughter's going to have a baby on October 1st. So, you know.
Well, like, I am give too. Her, there you go.
Give her a little room. Yeah, yeah. Don't be hogging October 1st. That's the day, you know.
Some is this going to be your first grandchild?
Well, it'll be our second grandchild. Okay. Yes. But we're super, super excited about all this.
Of course you are.
But, you know, the first is always better. I see what you're getting at. Yeah. No. all right. Hey, congratulations on the book, and thanks for explaining the moon. And if you see Apollo 11 before next week, we'll talk about it again because it's all you're going to want to talk about for a week.
I'm thinking of taking my 10-year-old to see it this weekend.
Oh, please, please. Anyone with a 10-year-old anywhere in your influence, go see Apollo 11 with them. It's riveting, and it's movie-making. That's just fantastic. And it's great because it's true.
I'm IMAX down here.
That's the thing about it. It's so good because it's true. It's not. Someone's not ginning up another emotional experience to tell you about what is also true. This thing is it's just great. So, all right. Hey, thanks, buddy. Hey, and the rest of us will be back here after the break on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horov, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on a couple of fun theatrical events in the area this weekend. Today through Sunday, get yourself and your best friends down to the Phoenix Theater in Minneapolis to see Fearless Comedy Productions' Die Laughing 6. Die Laughing is a 50-hour comedy marathon produced by Fearless Comedy Productions, taking place tonight through Sunday. Die Laughing is the longest comedy variety marathon in the world. Die Laughing includes everything from stand-up comedy and improv to musical comedy and podcasts and everything in between. There's a little bit of something for everyone. Alongside all the comedic acts, Fearless company members complete Fearless challenges if they raise a certain amount of funds. So it's like a combination of NPR's member drive and Fear Factor. There's also a silent auction full of amazing work by local artists. Die Laughing is held in part to help Fearless Comedy Productions raise money for their various projects throughout the year, such as their full-length productions, Fearless Fringe sponsorship program, and their ongoing monthly shows. Suggested donation for the entire weekend is only $20, and every dollar you give or donate to Die Laughing goes towards helping Fearless Comedy Productions continue their mission of supporting and delivering comedy without boundaries to the Twin Cities. For more information on Die Laughing, visit their website at www.dielaughingmarathon.com. Another event happening tonight through Sunday, Applause is proud to present 3x3. Three one-act plays by three local playwrights. Two of the one-acts chosen were from scripts submitted to Applause this fall and winter. The third was commissioned from their resident playwright. They don't want to describe the shows too much in detail, as they don't want to spoil any surprises. But please join them for an enjoyable evening of one-acts. There's Letters by Ginny Lutgoob and directed by Gary Davis, Strings by Brian Kern and directed by Duane Coivisto, and Locked Inside the Pretty Box by resident playwright Jim Lundy and directed by Chad Snyder. Performances are at Dreamland Arts. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m., Sunday at 1 p.m. Tickets are $15 general admission, but only $12 for students, teachers, and seniors. Go to dreamlandarts.com to learn more about this event and to reserve your tickets today. That's Art Beat for the week. I am Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's a talking head show where I'll highlight Pete Buttigieg, the 37-year-old mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who's considering a presidential run. Then I'll remind you of our collective empathetic hearts, much needed in this time of division. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Tonight, mostly clear with low around 27. Friday, sunny with a high near 48. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 40.
This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. Situated by Moore Lake on Highway 65, Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is one of the most beautiful destination fine dining restaurants in the Twin Cities. Located at 6161 Highway 65 Northeast in Minneapolis, Minnesota, find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from the Bradcast. Heard every weeknight at 7 p.m., but don't worry, for now, you're in good hands with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on the one and only Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Yeah, I like that Bradcast guy. That's a nice little bumper bit. I appreciate that. This is a Repartee. Hunter and I are going to take you into the 5 o'clock. And by the way, it's gorgeous outside. Just fantastic if you're in the Twin Cities today on the 29th of March. Man, it's great. Hey, Brad from Robbinsdale, got a little comment about daylight savings time, huh?
Yes. I mean, the fact that the Earth is slowing down does give me pause. And I'm not certain how this may relate to this question, but earlier there was a debate about ending daylight savings time, but no one talked about the fact that daylight savings time helps to reduce crime. Last March 10th, between 2 and 3 a.m., there was virtually no crime reported throughout the United States.
It was a zero crime hour. That's excellent. I love it because there was no 2 to 3 a.m. But, you know, curiously, about 8 months before that, the 2 o'clock hour had a double the amount of crime because there were two.
Oh, yeah.
AMs. There were 2 2 o'clock AMers.
I used to love when I lived in New York and they'd have daylight saving time and the bars were open an hour later.
Oh, I see. I see. You double dipped because nothing like drinking alcohol at 2 a.m. I mean, it's just that usually works out for a person, doesn't it? Hey, Mark, up in Fridley. How's life in Friendly Fridley?
Hey, Doug. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I haven't missed one of those rallies and those marches, and it was exciting to see the Socialist Democrats last night, and one of the things that I said was that, you know, they could all have been at home watching, you know, Dancing with the Stars or, you know, NCAA basketball, but they chose to go there. But it's at 1 o'clock on the corner of Lake and Hiawatha. That's where the building for MAP is located, and you're not hard to find. So, and I am going to start a chant, and I'm going to tell them that we need to start this chant. So when you hear It's All About the Benjamins tomorrow, it's a tribute to the courage of Ilhan Omar, as well as Why We Go to War. It's All About the Benjamins.
And an opining towards apparently a late 90s rap lyric.
You bet. Well, you were talking about the moon, and what was – I read – that NASA predicted that they had a 5% chance of success. So imagine strapping yourself to that tin can.
Really?
Knowing, and there's more technology in a person's pocket in a smartphone than there was available to NASA at the time for those rockets, you know, guidance, and which was amazing. And the guy who got us to the moon was John F. Kennedy. And he said, too often we enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. And I heard that Donald Trump was actually going to volunteer to go to the moon, but he got a note from his doctor saying he has bone spurs and he won't be able to do it.
Well, everybody's in a sassy mood today. I like it. I like it.
I'm always in a sassy mood.
The incredible thing about that Apollo 11 entire enterprise is, as you say, like now that we're in such a computer age, the computer technology was rather nascent at the time, but the other engineering that overcame all of that was simply remarkable. And when you see it on the film,
they were up there with slide rules.
I know, and you can see them literally doing it with slide rules when they're coming back in the I think it's called Columbia once it dropped off the different pieces, different parts of the whole rocket could go by these different names when there's, you know, when they're separated or apart. Because they launched this thing up and dropped, you know, they dropped the booster rocket. Then they dropped another piece. Then when they got up, they dropped a third piece when they got into the moon's orbit. And then they detached the Columbia from the Eagle lander. It went down, landed on the moon, then rocketed off of there and reconnected. And then they got the guys out of there back into Columbia. Then they dropped the Eagle. Then they're coming back in. And they're showing them coming back toward Earth. And out the window, on the window itself, you see 40 degrees, 30 degrees, 20 degrees, 10 degrees. To your point, they literally had on the windows what the angle was.
Trajectory.
The trajectory. That's how they were confirming all of this. Like, there was some technology and some radio technology, but it was radar. And they're doing this kind of like with just sheer engineering. And it is amazing. They're tightening bolts with wrenches. And it's so in this digital age that we live in, where people tend to think about so much stuff being sort of bits and bytes and digits and digitalness, you know, and ones and zeros. It's just so brutally like physical, the whole thing of them flying to the moon, getting out, and then walking on it. It's just, it's really an inspiring enterprise to consider. And frankly, you know, it's a little sad that we haven't had those kinds of actions, those kinds of big endeavors that have really captivated the mindset of the American population for, you know,
it's not in the budget.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? Not in the budget.
62 cents of every dollar you pay in taxes goes to the Department of Defense.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? On Rachel Maddow's show the other night, she had something on this whole bit because of Mike Pence talking about spending and trying to go back to the moon. But they showed a graph of the amount of spending on NASA in relationship to the federal budget, and from 1961 to 1972 or so, it's just a bar graph that goes straight up, and then from there it just goes straight down.
NASA is research and development. Did you know that the technology for the microwave oven came from NASA? The technology for global positioning systems came out of research from NASA. So NASA is just not about, you know, strapping on and going to, you know, rockets or space shuttles.
Right.
It's about research and development for products we can create. And I just want to let you know, with your astrophysicist guide, there was a near miss of an asteroid that blew up over the Bering Sea, 140 megaton, that we missed. We didn't see. If that had entered into the atmosphere at a trajectory where it would have penetrated the Earth, I mean, it would have been – and so we didn't catch that. So we're not spending money looking at, you know,
looking at the right
1,000
things.
Megaton, you know, munitions that are headed our way. And that's why people need to actually get out, take action tomorrow, and show up to that rally and show people that
you
really care about the troops.
Yep, let's show up and get out there. Thanks, Mark. Really appreciate the call.
Yep.
Hey, Hunter, I was over today at Micro Center.
Yeah.
Just a thing that happens to a guy. He's got to go there first thing. And I was in the line getting ready to check out. And it's one of those places where, for whatever reason, you're always standing in line at Micro Center. Which, by the way, like a couple weeks ago, I was at a Jo-Ann Fabric and then went to Micro Center, which just shows the range of my shopping experiences. Had to buy some fabric and then had to buy some cords. Anyway, the clientele difference between Jo-Ann Fabric and Micro Center is about as severe as any clientele difference I've ever seen in retail. Yeah, it's simply incredible. But in the line at Micro Center, they sell food there at the checkout. And my eye caught this packaging because it has a picture that I just saw in the Apollo 11 movie of the Apollo with the Apollo astronauts take. Maybe you've seen it before. It's really iconic. It's a picture of the Buzz Aldrin in his space suit. And in the reflection off of him, you see Neil Armstrong standing next to the American flag, and then the moon is over the top of his head. It's this beautiful, beautiful photo that is real prominent in the movie, and maybe you've seen it. So I'm in line at the Micro Center, and I look over, and there's that photo. It's on packaging, and the packaging is blue and white with this iconic, beautiful photo with the picture and the flag and the moon and the Earth. And in orange, a bar at the top in white letters, it says astronaut. And then under it, it says Neapolitan ice cream sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Those are great. Those are good.
Yeah. Freeze-dried, ready-to-eat space food.
It took me about 6 years when I was a kid to finally try it, but I always wanted to when I was at the Science Museum. Yeah, no one would ever buy it for me.
It's like this beautiful moment that was just riveting to me as a 52-year-old person watching what they did 50 years ago land. I was emotionally moved. I end up at Micro Center, and now they're selling me a Neapolitan ice cream freeze-dried sandwich.
Did you get one?
No, out of pride, out of just, you know, just caring enough about the men landing on the moon. No, I did not buy the freeze-dried, ready-to-eat space food Neapolitan ice cream sandwich.
You're missing out.
I just wish we could dream a little bigger sometimes. All right, hey, when we come back, we'll dream big about the news quiz. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, and you're listening to Doug, Brent Hunter, and Eric on Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. Let me tell you about the best parts of buying a vehicle with Rudy Luther. First, their staff is wonderful, friendly, and always ready to help. Another is the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hello, this is Andrew Yang, Democratic candidate for president, and you're listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hunter, do you think that's going to be our only presidential contender that gives us a little bumper for the...
Absolutely not.
I think you're right. I think we're going to get all the big hitters.
Yeah, me too.
In fact, I'm putting together a little event over there in Sioux City, Iowa.
Oh,
Maybe Sioux City. We're not sure where it's going to be yet. for all the presidential candidates, a Common Good Voters Summit in November this year when all the candidates are there. So
exciting.
We'll try to hit them all up. Hey, let's do the news quiz, my friend. You ready?
All right.
10 questions. See how well we've kept up on the news. All right, here we go. And I didn't even have a chance to go off on Donald Trump today, but Adam Schiff yesterday in that committee. And that 5 minutes from Adam Schiff, I've put it on my Facebook profile. I'm sure it's in Matt's show. You should listen to it. Dig around on the internet. The experience, the phrase when I was a kid was they opened a can of whoop ass, and he opened a can on the Republicans with this phrase, "You might be okay." I think that's gonna trend, as they say.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with it. I'm with Adam Schiff. All right, so here we go. News quiz for March 29th. Hey, Special Counsel Robert Mueller delivered his report on Russia interference in the 2016 election to the Justice Department officials on Friday, with no new indictments, which is a great way to say it. That's all that was decided in that thing, by the way. There were no new indictments. In fact, he was explicitly not exonerated. But no new indictments. Didn't even say he didn't participate or collude. Just said that he was not criminally conspiring.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, how many people did Robert Mueller and team charge during the course of that investigation? Was it one person, 13 peoples, 26, or 34?
There was a lot of them.
I'm going to guess 26. You okay with me? Nope. Incorrect.
Ah.
During the 22 months, it was 34 people.
Jeez.
34. Now, granted, some of those for things that they did previously, as opposed to what they did during the campaign. But still, I mean, how are you surrounded? Spend a little time in any of our lives, any other presidents. And this is the thing, when I hear people say all presidents are like this, all presidents do this. No, they actually don't.
Yeah.
You know how many people were indicted from the Obama campaigns and administration? Zeros.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans this week proposed a two-year spending budget of $47.6 billion. How does that differ from the proposed budget put together by the House Democrats? Was it more than $10 billion less, between $5 and $10 billion less, between $1 and $5 billion less, or it was on par with the DFL budget?
I think it was on par.
You think their budget was on par? I seem to think it was $10 billion less.
Less?
I don't care. You want to go with on par? We'll go with you this time. Nope. It was between $1 and $5 billion less. We're about to fail out of school here, my friend. We're 0 for 2. Hey, how many Minnesota teams earned number one regional seeds in the NCAA men's hockey tournament that opens on Friday? How many Minnesota teams earned that number one seed? One, two, three. You might remember that from the little owl that ate the Tootsie Pop. One, two, three, or four?
I don't know.
I'm going to guess four because I have no idea. Incorrect. An unprecedented three Minnesota teams earned one. I should have gone with it because of the way I was pronouncing three.
Three.
Do you remember that commercial?
How many licks
does it take to get to the center of Tootsie Pop?
Oh, yeah.
I like the thing. Science will never know. Jake Patterson, the person who did the bad guilty things. Jeez, for the love. My computer, sometimes my screen just likes to be helpful and refreshes right when I'm in the middle of a question. Jake Patterson appeared in court this week on charges related to the murders of James and Denise Close in their barren home and the kidnapping of their 13-year-old daughter, Jamie. What was the outcome? He pled guilty to the three charges. He pled not guilty to the three charges. His lawyer signaled an insanity defense at trial. The hearing was procedural.
He pled guilty to the three charges.
He did. You came in hot on that one. Yes, he did plead guilty.
I didn't.
You know, I think I was embroiled in trying to figure out why the president of the United States would not be cleared of obstructing justice charges. And I was watching movies. Hey, why did NASA scrap the first all-female spacewalk this week? Did you know that happened? They were supposed to have an all-female spacewalk, and they had to scrap it for this week, I think. One of the women astronauts became sick or there were problems at the International Space Station and the walk was scrapped. They couldn't prepare two medium-sized spacesuits in time, or the work they were to do, replacing batteries outside the International Space Station, no longer needed to be done.
Well, I'm guessing you know this. I think I might know it, but...
Are you guessing I know it because I seem to care a lot about things with NASA?
Yeah.
Because I just fawned over a 50-year-old accomplishment?
Uh-huh.
Hey, I don't know the answer, but I did hear another radio piece this week, and they made a kind of a headline reference that leads me to believe, this is deep speculation, that they couldn't prepare two medium-sized spacesuits in time.
That was what I was leaning towards, too, so I think it is that.
Let's try it. Correct. 75% of the people got that right. Hey, we're back on a roll. We're back to 50%. We're like, we're accomplishing a D-minus level, just like my high school. Hey, some Apple Valley neighbors near Hayes Park are upset about what? That they live in Apple Valley. Well, that's not it. That's just an Apple Valley joke. One, that city plans to turn the park into a mixed-use development. Flooded ball fields that are preventing practice. A police chase that ended near the playground. Loud pickleball games in the courts in the park.
Well, we did play pickleball in Lakeville, which is neighbor of Apple Valley.
But let's go with pickleball.
I think it's the flooded because my whole city is flooded. Chaska is completely flooded.
I went with pickleball, and it was pickleball.
It was?
Yes.
They do play it down there.
They sure do.
I'm glad they
want them to keep it down. Keep down the noise in the pickleball game. Hey, construction will begin on I-35 in the North Metro this weekend. How long will it last? We'll begin construction. They've been doing construction on that freaking highway. All right. How long will it last? Will it last 2 months? Will it last into the fall? Will it last 1 year? Will it last 3 years?
The longest one. 3 years.
Longest one. You know what? It's going to last longer than Donald Trump is going to be the president. It's unbelievable. Hey, Disney. That was correct. Disney announced major changes to its park this week, including what? It's removing Snow White and the Seven Dwarf characters from their parks. Hope so. It's reducing prices across the board by 5% and 10% for residents of the state where the theme park is based. All theme parks will eliminate smoking areas. All of the above? None of the above. Wow.
Snow White?
I think Snow White. Just Snow White? Okay. I went with eliminating smoking areas, and that's what it was.
Oh, of course it is. That's lame.
Okay. Hey, we got to hurry. We're going to run out of time. The Minnesota Twins opened their season with a win over Cleveland and lots of new ballpark food, including a 24-inch chili dog. How much does it cost? $12, $15, $22, or $27?
Ooh. Highest.
Let's go 22 to oh.
27.
It was $27.
It's $27. All
right. $27. Okay, we're so bad. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos this week was defending proposal to get rid of the Special Olympics, correct?
Yeah.
And we got 80%.
Oh, that wasn't bad.
950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We're going to run into the commercial. Talk to you next week.